You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Now, folks, we have a real treat in store for you in the third and final hour tonight. A man who is highly decorated, credentials, and a man who typically swings by and joins us every year around this time on the radio program, the one and only Detective Jim Rothstein, a retired New York police detective. Jim Rothstein took on organized pedophile rings, arrested Watergate burglar and CIA operative Frank Sturgis, testified before the New York State Select Committee on Crime. Jim is an expert on sexual blackmail operations, which he refers to as human compromise. And this topic has probably never before been so in the news, with the Harvey Weinstein scandals, and then you have former child actor Corey Feldman talking about the rampant pedophilia in Hollywood. This is a hot topic indeed. Detective, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Eddie, take it away.
Well, briefly, before we bring Detective Rothstein on, I was going to say this is kind of like this part two of our Halloween show. We had part one last week, part two tonight with Detective Rothstein. We're going to have another guest coming over to ask him questions later tonight. One of our cesspool guys who's dying to meet Jim, Detective Rothstein. But people, I would just like to say this. And you've heard us say make this statement, this biblical statement, time and time again on the cesspool. We fight not against flesh and blood. We don't. What we're fighting against, people, we're fighting against Satan himself. We're fighting against the pure evil. These people that Detective Rothstein has battled against since he was a kid in Manhattan, since Senator DeCamp was a kid, since we've been a kid, we're fighting thugs and evil human beings, but they are being powered by Satan. Never forget that. Never forget that it's a battle of evil versus good. It's a spiritual battle. And with that, people, I'm going to turn you over to Inspector Rothstein. And Inspector, how you doing tonight, fella?
Well, fine, and thanks for having me on your show again.
You're very welcome. We've got some questions tonight. We're going to bring another fellow on about 8:30. He's been really dying to talk to you. He's got a few questions he wants to ask you. But right off the bat, tell us we didn't mention that you were instrumental in getting the Son of Sam arrested. Tell us who the Son of Sam was, Detective, for the younger people in our audience.
Well, the Son of Sam is an acronym that was put on later to basically cover up a bigger thing, which involved the sacrifice of kids and German shepherds. That was the very first thing I had when an informant took me to Untermeyer Park and showed me where these sacrifices were. And this led into what ended up being the Son of Sam, where a bunch of people got killed. But it was far bigger than that. You had other operations going at the time, and they eventually, just before the Son of Sam Berkowitz was arrested, spread across the United States, and a portion of it was later identified as the Smiley Face Killers, where all these college kids would end up drowning in a river. And there were other subcultures or sects that came off of that. And it's something that's been going on for 50 years that I know of. Actually, it's 52 years now already. And what's just coming to light now is really nothing yet compared to what's out there.
You know, Inspector, have you ever heard of the Church of Latter-day Judgment?
I've heard of it, yes.
Now, you know, not to be confused with some other churches, but is it, to your knowledge, I may be asking you something you don't know. I've never asked you this question before that I know of. But to your mind, do you know if there was a link, a tie between the Son of Sam, Jeffrey Dahmer, Charles Manson, in this Church of Latter-day Judgment? It's a satanic church. There also, there's been implied links between this church some of the movie stars were connected to. I'm not going to name any of them. The alleged, I've read alleged that people like Tom Cruise, people like that, were involved in this church. Do you know if there's any links, any common links between those people, Inspector Rothstein?
That I'm not sure of, the Church of the Judgment, because we had it tied originally to the Process Church. But there were so many subdivisions off of that later that, remember, I started on this in 68, and the Son of Sam didn't go down to, I think it was 77 or 78. So I was in this 9 years before anybody ever heard of it. And we had it tied to the Process, but Dahmer was definitely tied to it, and so was Manson, because one of the 44s was bought by one of Manson's ladies out of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So, and we had so many other connections that spread across the country and have ever since.
That is amazing. You know, I may have there's a good chance, Inspector Rothstein, that I have the name mixed up of the Process Church. I'm probably thinking the same thing you're thinking. Now, let me ask you something else. Do you know, to your knowledge, has there ever been any celebrities, any influential people, or like, bankers, congressmen, mayors, senators that have been connected to this church with and linked to these people that we're talking about?
Why, certainly. It goes even much higher than that. We had them at every level of the government, military, business. It just went the whole gamut. There was no difference. Many of the people were involved. Many of them were involved and got compromised. The movie people. I'm waiting for the modeling agency part of this to explode. That's another big, big thing that was involved. It was just all over the churches, the regular churches. Many of them were involved. There was just no end to it. There were other subdivisions too. We had one up in Pelham. There was another group there, and then you had the Meadow, what was referred to the Meadow in Van Cortlandt Park. You had Calvin DeViver in Staten Island. That was just the New York end of it, and it went all the way across the Bible Belt and that. So, yes, and I don't know if you're aware that I traveled all over the country on this. I had unlimited access to any place I had to go.
I would like to chime in on that note and tell the audience some more about your credentials. Now, and the inspector will correct me if I'm wrong, but I call him an inspector, but he has worked since he was a kid. I call him a kid. He started in Manhattan. And if I'm not mistaken, the New York beat cop started calling parts of Manhattan the Minnesota Strip because they brought so many beautiful young children in there, that area from the Midwest. Oh, people, we're going to a break. We're going to break the one and only, the great Inspector Rothstein, back right after this break, and we were only getting started. We hadn't even scratched the surface yet, so we'll see you right back after this commercial break.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit american-heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Back to tonight's show indeed. James Edwards, Eddie the Bomb, Dear Miller, and the great, the legendary Detective Jim Rothstein. Eddie, back to you.
The one and only, and that's Jim Rothstein, and that's kind of a problem. Our fellow Cesspoolian and Liberty Roundtable guy, Sam, wants me to ask this question to you. Inspector Rothstein, you know, how can we get – you were probably the only person I know. We were talking during the break, and me and Sam were talking back and forth. We don't know of another pit bull with a brain like you, and I'm not trying to blow hot air, but you went in – And you were really a pioneer. You went to areas that angels didn't tread. You had no fear. It's a miracle that you haven't been killed. How can we get, number one, how can we get, is there another Jim Rothstein out there, some young, is there a 25-year-old New York cop, future Jim Rothstein out there? And to your, what do you think about that? And I got another question after that one.
Well, first of all, there's one thing I've got to say. There are hundreds of cops like me out there, but there's only one problem. The law does not protect them. When you, as a police officer, take this stuff off, may it be a New York City cop, a cop from anywhere else, an FBI agent, Customs, IRS, anybody who takes this on at the levels that we worked at, their careers will be over. Until we protect the cops that work on this, you can forget about it.
You know, Inspector Rothstein, it seems like protecting our cops, at this point in time, in my opinion, it seems to be almost like an impossibility because we're going to be asking the wolves to protect the sheep because, Inspector Rothstein, and I'm going to ask you, the wolves, our politicians, our higher up, you know, the rank and file, the cops, you know, the buck private cop, I don't know much about cops, I know about the Army, up to maybe the sergeants. I have full faith in them. It's the higher-ups, Inspector. Is it going to be an impossibility for a good cop to come out and be another Jim Rothstein in today's environment?
Well, it's again like when I was. there were bosses that would give me assignments to go look at. And I'll give you an example. I always like to say something that proves the point. I got called into the office of one of the top bosses of the New York Police Department. And when I walked in the door, he turned up the radio, closed the door, and started talking. And then he showed me a piece of paper that said, Dr. Rockefeller looks like Quasimodo supplies little boys to the United Nations. He never said a word about it. He takes it, puts it in an ashtray, burns it. And once it was burnt, he crushed the ashes. That is how I got that assignment, which took me into the highest levels of the pedophilia world, where they were using children, boys and girls, to compromise people. And it was the highest level investigation that has ever been done. And we solved it. I know what it was. I identified everybody. And eventually they invoked, and that was while I was with the State Select Committee on Crime, they invoked national security on us and shut us down.
By the way, people, I'd like to point out once again, Inspector Rothstein has, and he has been in the highest echelons of crime. He started as a beat cop. He has worked as a city cop, a state cop with a state task force in looking into illegal drugs, pedophilia, human trafficking. He's been all the way to the federal level. This man, I mean, he's a national treasure. It's just too bad we can't get more people like that. And another question I have, Inspector Rothstein, that our good friend Sam also was asked, how can we get somebody, is it possible to get somebody like a WikiLeaks? Do you think somebody could get, and I don't know much about technology, I don't know how much technology you know about. Is it hard to get one man in to bust some of the stuff wide open, like a Breitbart, like a WikiLeaks? Do you know anything about that? What do you think about that?
Yes, that can be done. I've been doing this now for 52 years, and a lot of my material through various channels has been put out. But what I find interesting, some days I can go, and there's some of it there, and the next day nothing's there. It's like somebody erases it. And this has been going on at every level. It's, for instance, doing shows, radio shows. I've done hundreds. And a number of times when I'd finished doing a radio show, and one guy in particular had been on the air 20 years, it was the last show he ever did. So they even stop it with the media. When we were doing this, there were many, many people in the media who tried to tell these stories or these cases we had, and it would never get aired. And in one instance, it was so high up that this company notified them that if they were to run the story, they would pull all their national advertising. So the story never ran. See, this is how they control it.
You know, Inspector Rothstein, with that note, I don't know. I've surfed the web looking for material. I've heard that Dr. Phil came out and tried to expose some of this stuff. And then when he did a show like that, he lost his job. Second, now I'm going to go to Inspector Rothstein. I know you'll know. You mentioned the entertainers and stuff. Now, I have read that the whole thing, kind of like sinners in Hollywood. I'm going to ask you a question about this. That in Hollywood, they really, making movies is just like a byline for them. They're not really interested in making movie as they are because they got all the money they need. As they are in moving drugs, the pedophilia, the human trafficking, and that the people in Hollywood are connected to the movers and shakers, the globalists all over the world, into this satanic a criminal enterprise that we have that we call a government. Inspector Rothstein, in your opinion, just how widespread is this Satan worship? Is this this evil pedophilia type people? How widespread is it, Inspector Rothstein, and how high up does it go?
Well, it's worldwide, and it goes to the very highest levels. For instance, if you look at our military, in one instance, one of my people, they had been extorting two admirals, and they both committed suicide. And later on, there were other cases similar to it. You go into business. You go into New York. New York, they talk about Hollywood. Go to New York. Go to Philadelphia. I just had one of my victims from 40 years ago called me about a year ago, to had finally found me and thanked me for saving his life and getting him out of the business. So it is nationwide. It goes to every nook and cranny that you can imagine. And our politicians, many, many of them are compromised, not only politicians, but other people too. And that's why it's so hard when you start getting above the street level not to get stopped. I was stopped 4 times. And the last one was with the State Select Committee on Crime, which the governor had started, and they ended up shutting us down, and I was retired.
You know, Inspector Rothstein, that reminds me of the Franklin cover-up. And people out there, I'd like you to know that Inspector Rothstein, and my, if my memory serves, collaborated with the late Nebraska Republican Senator John DeKalb. And is that right, Inspector Rothstein?
Yes, because that was another part of what we had found in New York.
I hear the music, Inspector Rothstein. We're gotta go to a break. It's just the wires are boiling over. We got to come right back. When we come back and we're running on. He's going to ask you a couple of questions with Inspector Rothstein. Of course, I'll still ask him more questions too. We'll be right back after the break, people.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
People were right back. Excuse me for jumping the gun. I thought I was on my cell phone again about a week ago. I'm not on the cell phone tonight. But I wish we had more time, but I know the Inspector Rothstein talked about compromise. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a book out there written. It's about people being compromised. Probably, I would venture to say, if I remember from the time before talking to Inspector Rothstein, probably about by a third, and it's a conservative estimate, of our representatives in Washington, D.C. have been compromised. So we can cover that with a later, maybe sooner or later. But there's one pertinent question I want to ask Inspector Rothstein, and I'm going to turn it over to our good friend Lee. Inspector, in recent times, Vladimir Putin has made the statement that the most dangerous crisis facing Europe, Russia, the European nations, and indeed the United States, is that our government is ruled at the highest echelons from the White House and above by pedophiles and Satanists. And he threw the gauntlet down to President Donald Trump. He said, if Donald Trump, if you don't do something about these pedophiles in your government, he said, I'm going to start naming names. Are you aware of that statement that he made, Inspector Rothstein?
Why, certainly. And this is something I have been talking about for many, many years. I became aware of it to the levels that it went to. I personally confronted some of these people. It is very true, because once you get with these kids and you do something, you're compromised. And once you're compromised, you will pay, not only in money. If somebody needs a favor done, you will do it. And this, like I say, goes to the highest levels. And at the one time, I've had one of my very experts on it that was in it for many, many years. He has it at 70%. I have it at 35 to 40%, that wow, at the time that we had and knew about. It's just amazing. And this is what destroyed the Catholic Church. And I saw the documents myself, and later Bella Dodd would testify to it, and an agent known as AA-1025 and others, where they infiltrated and put them in there, and it festers and eats on it. And like I say, human intelligence, human compromise, you can control anybody.
I mean, you know what? If we split the difference, Inspector Rothstein, there'd probably be about 50%. By the way, great Inspector Rothstein threw out Bella Dodd. Bella Dodd was a brilliant person. I think she may have been a physician at one time. I believe she was high up in the Communist Party here in the United States. And when she wised up, they sent her. She will know how she could connect, get her instructions from the Soviet Union when things hit the fan, and she was having a hard time getting her contacts. And when they told her, well, go to New York and talk to David Rockefeller, he'll tell you what to do. And that's when she woke up and she said, if I'm not mistaken, to respect to Rothstein, what am I doing, a communist, taking orders from the capitalist of the world, David Rockefeller? Now, with that, I'm going to shut up. Inspector Rothstein, we have a fellow coming on. His name is Lee Cochran, and he's been chomping at the bit to come on. He wants to talk to the one and only great Inspector Rothstein, and I'm jealous, man, but I'm going to have to turn the microphone over to Lee Cochran right now, because we promised him. Lee, go ahead, Lee. Turn it loose. Ask Inspector Rothstein your questions, fella.
Okay. Oh, a great honor to talk to you, Inspector Rothstein. Thanks for your service, but I just want to ask you about this Pizzagate issue. A lot of people were saying, you know, Pizzagate is just sort of a distraction or overblown. What do you think about it?
Well, what they're calling Pizzagate is something that's been going on forever, and it's not even near what it really is. I don't know about Pizzagate. I didn't investigate it, but I can tell you I investigated many, many other ones that would have put that to shame at the levels it went to and how many people were involved. In one instant, we even went for a wiretap order to the New York District Attorney, and they wouldn't give it to us, so they went and busted the joint. so they could get the records because I had an informant in there. And it was very easy for me because I had these people who trusted me who were victims in all these different places, so I could find out anything I wanted to find out.
Well, that's good news. I wish somebody could investigate this, you know, and just, well, this, you know, they use these fronts, these pizza parlors, and I guess they can use, you know, any fronts, like, you know,
Well, I can tell you, this year was, you had all these bars and stuff, like I'm talking not only in New York, Chicago, I traveled all over the country, and you had these what we call juice joints where these kids were. And it was, if you sat there and watched, it was like a supermarket, and the customers would come from all over to pick these kids up. And then you also had people who were supplying the kids. We had one guy that had a Winnebago and traveled the United States buying, selling little boys and kidnapping them and supplying them to the customers.
Oh, my Lord. That is so evil. How much do they pay for these kids, or do they just kidnap them and don't pay for them?
Well, normally, and I, one of the top people in what comes off of the case I mentioned with the three dead kids was the kidnapping of Johnny Gosch, the Martin Allen boy, Jacob Wetterling, and then the original one, Ethan Patz in New York. The inside man on that, I spoke to him, and he basically had the same number I did, anywhere from $2,500. We had one guy, Mr. Big, they called him from Pennsylvania. He'd pay as much as $25,000 for the right kind of young boy.
$25,000.
Yeah, from, you know, usually it started, if they, you know, $2,500, if it was for one time, it would be $50,000, $250,000. You know, it depended on whatever the market would bear.
Do they like certain types, like blonde-headed girls or dark-headed, or do they?
It all depends. Yes, it depends upon the fetish of the guy. You will not believe what some of these guys look for in this degenerate world that they live in. It runs from anything. In one of the cases, we had a young lady. She was a Native American from Minnesota. And she had been a thalidomide baby, and she had a flipper for a left arm. And there were actually people looking for that. So you take the most degenerate imagination you can come up with, and there'd be somebody looking for that kind of kid. And some of it is too dirty to talk about on the radio, you know?
Yeah, well, I wonder if mental retardation children, are they targeted, you know?
Oh, yes, yes, that does happen. You know, it's hard to say just where you draw the line at, but there is no separation from anything. Everybody's fair game if they can get them.
That is just so evil and wicked, and, boy, it's just terrible.
Well, we would sit there at night like they had, what I was saying, the juice joints. And there were kids 12, 13 to 15, 16, 17 years old. There'd be a couple hundred of them in there.
Oh,
and
my God.
These guys would come by, and they'd pick the one they want, and away they'd go. And these people were lost children. Literally, at that time in New York, this was the 70s, the late 60s and 70s, it was just amazing. Hundreds of them. And we'd get them. You try to identify them. You wouldn't be able to find out where they were from or what they were.
But wouldn't the kids try to run away? You know?
No, see, that runaway business is the newest way to make sure it don't come up as crime statistics. That's the only reason you're hearing, oh, they're runaways. Uh-huh. No. There were some runaways, yes, but many of them are left. Many of them are kidnapped. Many of them are, you know, fall by the wayside. I put it this way. There are as many reasons as there are grains of sand on a beach. Everyone has their own case. And that's why Inspector Rustin, you lump all of this together.
We're about to run out of time. I'm going to chime in. Just two quick questions. I don't want to cut Lee off.
You mentioned Johnny Gosch.
I think we covered this a couple of years ago, but did Johnny Gosch did he show up in the White House under George Bush's administration and posing as a reporter? Inspector Rothstein, we're out of time now. We've got to bring another fellow on by the name of Peter Scoop Stanton, but I want to get you on again, Inspector Rothstein, within a week or two, because things are busting wide open over this sex scandal stuff. And Lee and Jim, thank you. Thank y'all so much for coming on tonight. But well, we're going to a break now, and we've got to go to bring Peter Scoop Stanton. Inspector Rothstein, I will try to call you tomorrow or Monday. Okay, and thank you for coming on so much tonight.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
What an incredibly busy show. Let's just recap where we've gone from the top of the show all the way through where we stand now. Our defeat in court, the exchange with Dwight McKissick of the Southern Baptist Convention, second hour, White Lives Matter rally, then Sean Bergen was on for two haymakers, one, the terrorist attack in New York, and then the very much ado about nothing Antifa rallies that were supposed to be taking place all over the country today. Then in the third hour, Detective Jim Rothstein. What a guy, what stories. I kind of sagged back, let Eddie take the point on that one. And now, if that wasn't enough content, and there was so much we wanted to cover tonight that we couldn't get to, like the it's okay to be white gorilla flyer campaign that's sending liberals shrieking across the country. It's okay to be white. That's all these flyers say, and they're sending out like police manhunts to find people who were posting these things on college message boards. It's totalitarianism's coming, folks. We can't rent rooms. Law doesn't apply to politically incorrect dissidents. It's coming. But now we've got Scoop. He's coming first. If we haven't covered enough ground tonight, Scoop's going to take us to the finish line. What do you got for us, brother? Great to have you back after 2 weeks. We've been partying the last 2 weeks, conference-wise, and so it's been a couple of weeks since you've been with us. But you've been doing a great job on Red 42. I've heard a lot of good – I want to say this before Scoop starts. I've heard a lot of good feedback about Red 42, that Scoop show coming up immediately after TPC every Saturday night with Jim Lancia. And I of course, expected them to do a good job. But not having been on, anchoring their own show before, Scoop being the point man, I got to say it's exceeded expectations, and I think the audience feels that way too. Now, enough from me. Scoop, take it away.
Thank you, James. For some reason, the fans are contacting you, and they're contacting me or Jim, but that's neither here nor there. But first things first, today was the big Antifa rally in Washington, D.C., except they didn't tell Antifa about it. I was down at the White House area again at about 4:30 today. And there's nobody there except three kooks with anti-Trump signs, a couple anti-abortion zealots who had pictures of aborted fetuses in plain view of young people and children, very inappropriate. And we had Jehovah's Witnesses, of course. And we had five girls playing cards sitting on the ground right in front of the White House and tourists. And I was asking the Secret Service officers in the uniform division, I was like, where are the Antifa protesters? Like, we don't know. Nobody came here. It's been like this all day long, which was shocking. But there was a small group in the park that's behind the White House, or the area that you see all the time at the front of the White House, and they call themselves Black is Back. There's about 50 people there, and they had a table set up with five bullhorns. I don't know how five people are going to use bullhorns to talk over each other at the same time. And it's mostly older black people wearing berets with red stars on them, camouflage fatigues from the 80s. There's also a white bald guy with a mullet there. He looked like my twin. And they're calling each other comrade. And at the end of this anti-Trump speech, says, Trump's got to go, Trump's this, that, and the other thing. They were hustling for money. They were passed around a box for some donations. And then I guess they're having a rally at Malcolm X Park somewhere in the district. And somebody says, all right, I'm going to need a ride over at Malcolm X Park. I take like 7 or 8 of you. So this guy must have like a 77 Eldorado to take all these people to Malcolm X Park. Also, tonight was the TPC Red 42 District of Columbia meetup. And we had a grand total of 0 people at O'Sullivan's Bar.
I didn't even know about it.
Well, the 300 people that do follow me on Facebook and Twitter, I put the word out, but of course, nobody came.
If D.C. is a stronghold, a place that went 92% for Hillary may not be our stronghold.
90% black.
Scoop,
you're the only black.
Supposedly, we have pockets of support at around the DMV. Yeah. So we had nobody show up there, so I was out there all by myself. Right now I'm outside a Dunkin' Donuts coffee shop, since I got to go on in a couple more minutes. And the biggest thing out in Virginia is the governor's race. You have Republican, establishment Republican Ed Gillespie going against Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northern.
I've got to cut in and ask you a question. You got a cop show. You mentioned Dunkin' Donuts. Son, you got to take some donuts to your cop show, son. I'm just being silly here, fella. But go ahead. You know how I have cut-ups every now and then.
Who's going to win the governor's race? Establishment Ed or
let me get to that. Well, let me get to that. This group called Latinos for Victory put this horrendous, awful ad on about that shows a white male driving an F-150 pickup truck with the Confederate flag flying in the back, gas and license plate in the front, and chasing down minority children, including a young Muslim girl wearing a Jeep. And towards the end of the commercial, the kids wake up and realize it's only a dream. And then they say, Latino Victory Fund paid for this ad, stopping Trump and Ed Gillespie. Then they showed the Tiki Torch rally in Charlottesville, and that was the end of the commercial. Needless to say that people were coming out of the woodwork in support of Ed Gillespie. I'll be voting for Gillespie with my my nose pinched. But since that ad came out, Gillespie's contributions went up threefold. People come out of the woodwork and they said they're going to vote for Gillespie, not because of Gillespie, just because of that horrendous ad. And supposedly there's some connection between Ralph Northam campaign and the Latinos for Victory Fund. So this backfired big time against the Democrats. So it looks like it's going to be a Republican victory, but of course the media is not playing it down. But the day after this awful, horrendous ad came out, I thought I was the inspiration since I drive a Ford. I have a license plate issued by the DMV, and I have a Confederate flag. Unfortunately, it's in the truck right now. And the town they shot in was Fairfax City, Virginia, which is all white. They have very few minorities, very few Muslims, and even less number of conservatives. It's all upper-middle-class white liberals. But anyways, the next day that the ad came out, somebody in a Ford pickup truck decided to chase down some Hispanics, and that took place in New York City, and where Mr. Bergen eloquently explained what had happened. So, you know,
isn't that something?
Latinos for Victory did influence somebody to run people down in a Ford truck, but wrong person, wrong place, and it blew up in their face. So look for a Gillespie victory come Tuesday.
Hey, Scoop, do you think I'll go ahead. I'm sorry.
And also, finally, we have a transgendered man running for delegate in Prince William County, Virginia. That's the other big election going on. This person has no platform other than he likes to wear dresses and urinates standing up, or has parts to as a male parts, but calls himself a female. And he's running against a guy who's been in office like 22 years. So it's going to be very interesting. Go ahead, Eddie.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, with the terrorist killing the people up there with the bike track up there in New York, Scoop, do you think that put a damper on the big October 4th Antifa demonstration? Do you think that had anything to do with it? Do you think they're smart enough to think, hey, that might make us look stupid? I know a lot of the people, the traffic I mentioned earlier in the show, a lot of the traffic on Facebook and other social media here in Memphis that are always crying, bleeding heart for the, you know, for the Muslims and bleeding heart for the immigrants. All of a sudden, they've run for the high, for the tall grass. What do you think about that, Scoop? Do you think it kind of put a damper on the big October 4th Antifa demonstration?
No, I think what happened was, since you didn't have Richard Spencer or any of these other alt-right leaders coming out making a speech or anything like that, Antifa is going to not show up. Or the checks George Soros issued bounce. So I don't know about that. But another interesting thing is that when this guy, Muslim, ran down these people in the bike trail, Chuck Schumer was nowhere to be seen crying, whereas he was literally crying because Donald Trump wants to vet these people from coming to our country and doing exactly what they did. So, I mean, good old Chuck Schumer. But you know what? In New York, you vote for him and you keep voting for him. You get what you vote for.
Well, I'll tell you, we were anticipating the great Antifa
multi-city rallies, and we had our assets on the ground. Sean Bergen was on the streets in Manhattan today, Scoop on the streets in D.C., and nothing materialized, but it wasn't because we weren't there to cover it. Hey, everybody, stay tuned. We're done for tonight. Thanks to everybody who participated, especially Sam Bushman, who keeps us on the air every week. Stay tuned for Red 42. Scoop's going to just roll on into the next hour. We'll be listening.
Get those donuts in there, Scoop.
See y'all next week, everybody.